You're listening to JTE Movie Thinks. Is that the title? Is that correct grammar? All right, we'll go with it. It's a show about movies and thinking. And now, here's your host, every man's hero, JTE.
Hey guys, what's going on? Welcome to a brand new episode of JTE Movie Thinks. You heard that amazing intro from Ken. It really is the best intro ever. And coming back, I have one of the best guests ever. The one, the only, the man responsible for Honest Trailers. Not only the movies, but video games. I've been digging into those lately.
Nice.
Spencer J. Gilbert.
Well, it is an honor and a privilege. Thank you for having me back, JT.
No, thank you, man. I want to talk to you because last time I talked to you, obviously Honest Trailers, I love. Everyone loves them.
Yeah.
I really started digging into these video game Honest Trailers.
Nice.
Which I've been playing Mad Max pretty often lately.
Okay, and did you find it as average as I did?
I don't know if I would say. You really think it's average?
It's completely average, which isn't a bad thing. I think average is fine. Like, okay. I got C's that were average, but I graduated.
Yeah, okay, good point. yeah, I like the game. I mean, it's a little different than any game, I guess. What would you compare it to?
I compare it to, like, a bad Grand Theft Auto.
No, that's a totally different, because you're in a city metropolis.
Maybe a poor man's Shadow of Mordor?
I give you that, but the car aspect makes it so much different, I feel
but
like.
But to me, that was like, it didn't fulfill its promise, because a Mad Max game, what I wanted was, do you ever play Road Rash?
Hell yeah.
What I wanted was Road Rash, really. So maybe I'm just a little bitter that I didn't get the 3D Road Rash that I've been
waiting
for.
Okay, well, let me say, I'm not...
And not Road Rash 3D. I know that happened. Yes. That was also an abortion.
That was awesome. Yeah. But I used to love Road Rash. It would be like just something, a thrill about going 90 miles an hour than just kicking somebody off their bike.
Yes, with the chain or the foot or whatever. There's also a criminally underrated game for the Genesis called Skitchin. That was Road Rash with rollerblades.
Really?
It was just rollerbladers.
What the hell? That's
holding
ball.
On to the back of cars, punching each other.
That's like rollerball.
Yes, but on the streets.
I don't think there's anything more satisfying in my video gaming life than when you're playing Road Rash and your friend comes up to you with a chain and you catch the chain with your hand.
Oh, God, yes.
By then stealing the chain from him and then knocking him off with the same chain.
It is.
That was better than...
peak of human existence.
It was
the
peak of, my childhood. So anyway, video game thinks.
Oh, spinoff. Let's do it.
Yeah, we should do it.
What's the last game you played?
Mad Max.
Okay, cool.
I play Madden almost every night.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
See, I never could get into Madden because it got so complicated post-94. I'm more of an NFL Blitz guy.
Oh, man. Those games piss me off. I'm somebody that likes the rules and the order.
Yeah.
The Blitz games are just like, come on!
Yeah, it's fun.
Fun.
I don't want to have to like look up the wiki to learn how to throw a screen pass. It's just like, let's play football.
I don't think it's that bad now. I think you could probably get back into it.
Okay.
There's a little bit of a learning curve, but I feel like if you know football, you'll be able to do it. For me, there's a certain joy I get out of reading a defense, making the adjustments, and scoring a touchdown.
See, that's a level of football knowledge I don't have, so I can't really apply that. I'm like, go towards the end zone, team.
Gotcha.
fake field goal every play.
That's why Blitz, like, it's a fun game, but you don't get that kind of, like, calculated enjoyment.
No, you don't.
Yeah, it's just like,
I love Blitz,
guys
I love NBA Jam, you know, all the, like, streets with a Z version of sports. That's my level of sophistication.
Anything with a Z on it. Is there a tennis game like that? There had to be.
Mario Tennis? I don't know.
Oh, that's a good point.
Super Strikers.
Super Strikers?
Yeah.
Boxing did that a bunch, where they would just have like animated type boxing guys.
Yeah, Punch Out. Super
Punch
Out.
Oh, that's the original, yeah. I was trying to think of the more recent titles. But anyway, yeah, so I've been playing Mad Max mostly, and Madden. I just started NBA 2K.
Solid.
Picked it up like 3 weeks ago, but I haven't played it.
Yeah.
But now the NBA season started this
week. Yeah, very excited.
I was jumping on there. NBA 2K is one of the few games I think just gets better every year. And by far it is the best looking game, I think, on the console.
Okay, I should pick that up.
Yeah, do you like basketball?
I do. I love the NBA.
Okay, favorite team?
I was born in LA, homie. Gotta represent the Lakers.
I plan on checking some Laker games this year because
don't,
it's Kobe.
Don't.
No, because here's the thing. It's Kobe. I think this is Kobe's last year.
I don't.
He might have one more.
I think that he's going to play like 2 years in Italy after this and then come back as like a 40-year-old. It's just not going to be pretty.
Really? Well, yeah. I'm going to go see Laker game just because I think I want to see him play.
Well, the games themselves are a scene, and I can't defend the Laker crowd because tickets are like $5,000, but you'll just see some crazy plastic people ringing the court. It's kind of crazy.
All right. All right. Well, enough sports. Let's get into JT movie things. So, you know how the show works. I bring guests on and I ask them, what's the last movie you saw, whether it be on a plane, whether it be something you watch on Netflix? Maybe it's a movie you've seen 100 times, but you just grab it off your shelf and say, you know what? I need to watch this. I'm going to just start this off with a quick thing. I watched The Gunman the other night with Sean Penn.
The Sean Penn action vehicle where they tried to Liam Neeson Sean Penn.
This movie got destroyed by critics.
I didn't see it.
It was like 10%.
It looked dumb.
Everyone told me they didn't like it. I watched it. I enjoyed it.
Okay. All right.
I mean, I'm a Sean Penn fan, but the action is pretty awesome. It's the guy that did Taken, and he also did From Paris with Love.
Well, I think that...
The first Taken.
That seemed like the problem to me is like, this is Taken with Sean Penn.
No, but it's a totally different storyline. The storyline's not even close to being like that.
Yeah, they were kidnapped, not taken.
No,
totally different.
No one's kidnapped. Well, someone gets kidnapped for a little bit, but it's more like it's a much more serious version of like Taken.
Okay,
if you can imagine that.
Well, I like the kind of goofiness of Taken, but I'm not gonna shit on it before I've seen it.
Exactly.
With your recommendation, I'll check it out if it's free somewhere.
Again, I'm not saying it's a great movie. Yeah. I'm saying if you just want a solid action movie, you got Sean Penn. You got Idris Elba, you got Javier Bardem, and some more good, you know, supporting cast.
All right.
Not a terrible movie, everybody. Yeah. Check it out. Sean Penn's a pretty good badass.
You've half-talked me into it.
Yeah, all right. Well, I half-like the movie, so that kind of works. All right, so Spencer J. Gilbert. I know, you don't like the J, do you?
I do now. I've embraced it because I can't get Spencer Gilbert on Twitter or Facebook or Gmail or anything, so I've embraced the J.
Because I'm an engineer, Screen Junkies, I'm just used to writing in Spencer J.
That's why
I just call you Spencer J.
You know what it stands for, right?
It stands for Josh.
J.
Okay. Oh, J like J-A-Y?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. It works.
So many levels.
So what's the last movie you watched, man? Hit me with it.
The last movie I watched last night...
Oh, wow, last night.
...was It Follows.
Ooh.
$1 rental. I was like, I missed this. I heard great things.
I'm trying to remember if we talked about this before. I don't think we have.
Okay.
If we did...
It's perfect for Halloween,
right?
It was
a while ago, yeah. Let's get into it. Yeah, I can't... Wow, this is killing me. Some fans are going to be like, yeah, you talked about it before.
Okay.
But let's touch on it, and we'll get into this a little more. Maybe we'll get into some more Halloween movies.
Well, I've been on kind of a horror streak, so we can
kind of... This is the time to do it.
Yeah, so, you know, the night before, because I've watched The Babadook.
Okay.
So that's been my... I'm kind of catching up on all the good horror movies this year.
Wow, so those are two of the better ones the last 2 years.
Yeah.
Another one a lot of people throw out there is The Conjuring, which came out 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Which...
That
I like.
Cool.
Didn't love.
Okay.
Did you see it?
No.
Oh, you didn't see it. Are you a horror fan, Spencer?
I'm a seasonal horror fan. I feel like around this time of year in the fall, when there aren't that many good movies, I don't need to see them in the theaters. I don't need to be the first one in. But you know, I wait for the good ones to rise to the top. I'll check those out.
Okay. So, growing up, did you love horror films, or was it something that you maybe stayed away from?
No, it's never been my least favorite, never been my favorite. So it's I'll watch Scream.
Okay, I remember when that came out.
Yeah, exactly. Like the good movies that come out.
Yes.
I'll let the people vet them, the critics vet them, and I'll say, okay, let's check this out.
Let's be honest here. There's another podcast that's part of our network called The Horror Flicks.
Mm.
Those guys will watch anything.
Yeah.
Whether it's crap or good, and sometimes I argue with them because the movies they like, I'm like, that movie looks horrible. Why would you even waste your time?
I don't know. There's something about horror fans that is special.
That's a good word. Yeah. What is it about that? There's something about it. They just like, I have a cousin I grew up with.
Yeah.
And we watched every horror movie you could think of, from the good to the bad.
Mm-hmm.
We were kids. Our taste wasn't developed yet. You're at that age, you're just happy to see boobs and murder.
Totally. Well, yeah, it's very primal. It gets at a very universal and raw place for people of boobs and murder.
Yeah.
And we all have that, but it can be done well and it can be done badly.
I think we need to write a script called
Boobs and Murder. That's a new pilot on Fox this season, I think.
No, because then you boobs can't have any boobs.
Yeah, you gotta have boobs.
It's gotta go straight to DVD or straight to Blu-ray. Because if you're gonna have a movie called Boobs and Murder, I need some full-on boob.
Hell yeah. Some full frontal, even.
Full frontal. Fox, you can't do that.
That's a fair point.
Okay.
Yeah. It's a bait and switch. Oh, well. We'll take it somewhere
else. We'll take it somewhere else.
Cinemax.
But my cousin, like, to this day, loves horror movies. And he'll go see a horror movie, even though I tell him, I'm like, this thing is horrible.
Yeah.
Everyone I know has seen it is horrible. It looks horrible. Uh-huh. And he'll be like, I know, but I still got to see it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, why? I'm like, what is it with some horror fans where they just have to see it? They have to get that thrill. They got to get that hit.
Completionist. So, I don't know. You tell me. It was...
I don't know.
It was never me growing up.
Yeah.
Because I feel like a bad horror movie is really bad.
True.
I mean, well, it's interesting because there's a comically bad horror movie like Leprechaun in Space or something like that, which goes full circle to good, but just a bad horror movie. Like, I remember the remake of the Texas Chainsaw Massacre I walked out of. I was just like, this is dumb, and it's just gore. It's like... The Gorno stuff I really can't get on board with.
I hear you. Even like, though, like, Eli Roth style?
Yeah, Eli Roth style. I did not like Hostel. Saw was fun from like a, this is like a cool student, short film that has been stretched into like an hour and a half, but
and
it was clever.
Yeah.
But that's kind of where I draw the line. Like Human Centipede, not a fan.
Never saw it.
Okay. Don't worry about
I've seen the South Park episodes making fun of it. I know what happens in it.
Yeah.
And nothing, no part of me is like, I need to check that out.
But I think they're just like the like tough guy badge of honor stuff, like Serbian film, and like you just have to watch the most fucked up thing in the world. It's, you know, I can skip it.
It's, you know, I don't mind a messed up movie if it feels like the story needs it, or
some movies,
like Serbian films, like, I'm just going to make the most effed movie I can.
Yeah.
Not to service the story, but just to,
because
I want to
push
the envelope. I want to push the envelope.
Yeah.
So It Follows is the kind of horror movie I gravitate to. Smart. It's somewhat original.
Yep.
And it's more about the atmosphere and the directing.
Yeah.
That really drew me into that movie. And I saw it and I was like, it's not one of those movies where it's like super gruesome.
No, not at all.
Yeah, you know, it's just that creep factor, which to me has always affected me more. Like, I could say, I could watch that movie and be like, that's some good filmmaking, that movie.
Totally.
I watch Ouija Board, I'm not going to think that.
Yeah.
I'm just like, this is just some hack, you know, horror movie that they're trying to make a couple bucks off some horny teenagers getting killed.
Yep. No, they really did. He really made an atmosphere with the movie.
Yes.
And atmospheric is how I'd describe it.
Yep.
The 80s synth score is amazing. I know a lot of people talk about that first and foremost.
Very throwback to John Carpenter kind of style. Yeah,
which I appreciate. But that was the interesting thing about the throwback is, like, it was the 80s, the 70s, the 90s, and modern day kind of all at once in that movie.
Yeah.
It was really tough to place what time period it was. I couldn't tell if this was the 80s or not, but then she opens up that, like, clamshell Kindle thing that she's reading Dostoevsky's book on.
Yeah. I always thought it was present day.
See, I didn't.
Really?
I really thought, like, oh, this is set in the 80s.
That'd be cool if they did that.
All the cars were old. There was, like, an organist in the theater playing. So I was like, oh, this is, like, a throwback. It was kind of timeless, which I appreciated.
Huh. Your attention to detail is greater than mine.
I also saw it last night.
Okay, true. Good point. Yeah. I'm trying to think what's the other movie that came out this year. No, I think it was that one in Babadook that everyone was talking about. That was kind of like a throwback.
Yeah, I kind of hope this year. It Follows was this year, in like, March. And then Babadook. Had to have been too.
It was last year.
Oh, was it?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
So maybe my top 10, it was my number 10 in my top 10 films of last year.
Nice. But I think that, I hope that this is a trend in horror movies, because they do seem really trendy. Like, there's there's like the found footage thing that's hopefully at an end.
Oh, God, please.
The Gorno thing before that. Yeah. And then
what do you call it? Gorno?
Gorno, yeah.
I've never heard of that. I heard it called torture porn.
Yeah, same thing.
What do you call it again?
Gorno.
Gorno.
Yeah.
Sounds like something that would fight Godzilla.
Yeah, exactly. Oh, no, Gorno is coming!
Gorno! We must call for Gorno to save us.
That's a good spinoff.
How did you get Gorno? Where did that come from? Did you make that yourself?
I couldn't have made that up. I've just been referring to it that way, yeah. I think I used it in the Saw Honest trailer called Gorno.
Interesting. Horror? Gorno?
It's gore porn. It's porn of gore.
Gorno.
Gorno.
Oh, man. All right, I'm going to start using that.
Yeah, but I hope that now we're in a new phase where the trend is like well-made atmospheric horror movies that have kind of I don't want to say they have something to say, but that they are psychological, that there's a theme and there's kind of that the monster is more of a metaphor for an emotion than it is a buff guy with an axe.
And the thing is, I've gotten a reputation like, oh, you don't like horror movies. And Christian Harloff from the Schmoes know, he gets that a lot too, because he doesn't have, I feel 90% of movies that come out, especially by studios that are horror films, are crap.
Well, they haven't been good since, like, the 80s.
Exactly. And The Conjuring was the last one that I think a major studio made that was actually pretty good. I didn't love The Conjuring as much as a lot of people.
Okay.
I enjoyed it. But for me, I always looked like the indie films.
Mm-hmm.
Like, It Follows, The Babadook. There's a movie called that came out this year, which I've heard rave reviews about. I think it's called We Are Still Here. It's, have you heard of this?
Yeah.
It just,
is that about the punk band?
No.
Okay.
I don't know. It's a haunted house. It's a throwback to like a haunted house film.
Okay.
I think it's a British film. I've heard amazing things. It came out on Blu-ray last week.
Yeah.
Fans have been tweeting me saying I need to check it out.
Okay.
But growing up, there's a movie called Kill List, another British film, which was amazing. The first half of that movie plays off like a Hitman film.
Yeah.
And then it literally takes a turn, not ghostly, but to like a Satan occult.
Mm.
And it's horrifying.
Yeah.
And it's really insane.
It's always
and
nice
really
when
good.
It starts off one way, then it turns
right?
into a horror movie.
From Dusk Till Dawn scenario.
The From Dusk Till Dawn. I was thinking Audition.
Audition? Oh, okay, yeah.
The unexpected horror movie is great.
Yeah.
I think that actually may have lessened my enjoyment of It Follows just a little bit.
What?
I still really liked it, but there had been so much hype about it, and I'd heard so much about the movie
mm-hmm.
that it wasn't surprising if I had gone in blind.
Okay.
Because I knew it was a thing that relentlessly follows you.
Yep.
If you have sex with someone, you pass it on to the next
yep.
person. And I think I really would have loved to go back in time and go into that movie blind. I think it would have been even better.
Yeah, I saw it almost immediately when it came out in theaters here because
yeah.
I heard so many good things. So I went in knowing the premise like you did. Like,
yeah.
I didn't go in blind, but I think if you're just seeing it now, you've probably heard so many people talk about
yes,
it.
Yes, exactly.
So I always do my best to get ahead of that, especially
yeah.
in the industry we're in.
Yep.
Everyone watches movies. Everyone's talking
Don't
about
shut
movies.
Shut up about spoiling.
Yeah.
Spoiling everything.
Spoiling everything. Like, especially Schmoes know, like, we talk about shows every week and what's coming out.
Yeah.
I always like to, like, I got my ticket for Star Wars.
Oh, you and me both, brother.
Thursday night.
Friday morning?
Okay.
Yeah.
I got Thursday night, like, because I know I cannot be around this office
yeah.
or anybody if I don't see it immediately, because that's all everyone's going to talk about.
It's a gift and a curse, man.
I'm already stressing out because I know a lot of my friends, I'm sure your friends, are critics.
Sure.
And they're going to probably see it a week before us, and all we're going to do
no,
is
No, they're not
going
to screen that for critics.
Yeah, you don't think so?
No way. They don't need to.
Oh, are you serious?
Why would they?
All our critic friends will be really mad if they don't.
They're going to buy tickets anyways.
True. I would love it if they didn't, because then I could see just, if there's a chance I could see it before some of these other people, that'd be amazing.
Yeah, wouldn't you and me both, but I don't think that's going to happen. I just don't see Disney doing that.
Wow.
Interesting. But yeah, so compared to The Babadook, which I managed to kind of stay... What's that?
You saw it? You saw Babadook.
Saw Babadook.
Oh, that's what you said you watched before.
But,
okay.
But I managed to stay away from spoilers for that.
Oh, good.
No one really told me about the plot-specific stuff
nice.
For The Babadook. I was just like, that's a stupid name.
Okay.
I don't think I read anything about it or anything like that.
Okay.
So that was way more affecting to me because I didn't know it was coming.
Yeah.
Whereas It Follows, like, oh, yeah, well, why isn't she just getting a boat?
Yeah,
I was thinking about
it. It would walk in water.
Would it swim?
It would walk on the bottom and
of
then,
the ocean.
Oh, can it swim? Is a good question.
Now, I was thinking my plan would be to
have sex
with an astronaut.
Oh, right before they go off.
Right before they go to the space station.
Holy crap! Then
Done.
He wouldn't be able to.
I mean,
but what if no? Because if he kills the astronaut in space, which is probably gonna be pretty easy.
How is
to
he
kill.
Gonna kill the astronaut in space? Is he gonna walk to space? Come
well,
on, JT.
Think about it.
Start thinking straight.
Think about it. He's on the ship, right?
He's on the International Space Station.
Yeah, he's chilling, and all of a sudden he sees a guy floating towards him.
Floating towards him? How did it get out of the atmosphere?
I think it magically appears wherever you are.
It doesn't magically appear. It walks.
It walks, but...
That's all we know about it, is it walks toward you.
If it's a ghost, though, can it just show up anywhere? You see
Who
Horizon?
Said anything about a ghost?
Who said a ghost can't go in space?
The movie did. I mean, well, the movie said that it walks. That
yes.
it walks directly towards you.
Yes.
So I'm thinking, how do you walk outside of Earth's gravity?
But I think you got to take it out of the physics of that we live by, because this thing is obviously not a person. Only one person could see it, and that's the person that had sex with him. I think it's some sort of spirit.
Yeah, but if it was a spirit, why couldn't it, you know, break into a jog, for example? It has rules. It has to
yeah,
walk.
True. I guess, yeah, but... I think you could just show up.
I solved It Follows. I'm sorry, JT. I'm just going to insist that I solved the movie for the protagonist. She should have had sex with an astronaut.
I mean, you say that, but how hard? That's a hard mission.
It's tough. I didn't say it would be easy, but it's an idea for a sequel. I think it's worthwhile.
Okay. I do love how the movie ended. It wasn't like a nicely wrapped,
it was ambiguous
kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, it was still following them. I
yeah.
took it to mean because the guy they're being followed by a guy
yeah.
behind them on the sidewalk. Like,
yeah.
You don't put that in there
if it's
a happy ending.
But that's the thing that's kind of cool about it, is you didn't know if that guy walking at the end of the movie was him.
That's true.
It kind of told you you're always going to have that
yeah.
suspicion no matter where you are.
Yeah, and that was the best part of the movie, is just the dread of not knowing where it was coming from. Yeah. But you just knew that it was coming.
Yeah.
So I loved that part about it.
I would love if this ghost in the sequel attacked Hugh Hefner. And
okay.
The whole thing could take place at the Playboy Mansion.
Oh, yeah, nice. You're getting more boobs with the violence.
And he's just getting cattle. A girl's coming in. He's sleeping with every single one of them.
Yeah.
And he's just like, the ghost can't keep up.
I was going to say, for a movie about sex, there wasn't that much sex in It Follows.
The nudity that was in it was like ghost nudity.
It was ghost nudity, yeah. They really dropped the ball on on the sex equation part of the equation. Oh, well.
I think the creepiest part in a whole movie...
is when that guy's mom humps him to death?
I'm upset that I wasn't going to say that one. That one and the one where apparently the guy's on the roof.
Yeah.
Now, what I've been told from our people is that's her father.
Oh, okay.
It appeared to be, like, I need to go back and watch it again.
Well, see, to me, and I guess I was too, I don't know, nitpicky about this movie. I was like, how'd it walk up on the roof? Why is it up there?
Are you still on the gravity
thing? Yeah, I thought it... Well, I was just saying, if it walks directly towards her, in what universe is the quickest way, you know, to climb the roof? Just go through the house.
Maybe it's like a video game where you just, like, spawn, and you don't know where you're going to spawn.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
You just show up on, you know, oh, shit, I'm on top of the roof.
Yeah. But it had a, you know, it had a similar kind of ambiguous ending to The Babadook, too, where it's
what did you think of The Babadook overall?
I love that movie.
Loved it.
See, I thought that was...
So you agree with it being my top 10 last year?
Yeah, definitely.
Okay, so you take it over It Follows.
I would.
I would, too. I'm on that same train with
you. Not that I didn't like It Follows. Exactly. I think for the aforementioned reasons, though, I would still rather see... I enjoy The Babadook more, and I loved that it was ambiguous, because in the end, they are... they're keeping the monster alive down in the basement, but that made sense because it was a metaphor for all the darkness and repressed emotions we have inside of us.
Was it an emotion, though? Was it a monster, or was she just insane?
It was a monster. It was a manifestation of her repressed emotions. Of her darkest resentments towards life and her kid and her husband. It was kind of a beautiful movie to me in that way because you never get rid of those emotions, but you can learn to live with them.
Okay.
In a basement and feed it worms.
Quick question, did you watch this with your significant other?
Yes, I did.
And did they feel the same way as you? Did they like Babadook more, or did they like it?
She did, yeah. We did a, we just started doing like a little horror movie marathon, and, you know, Babadook was like, you know, she locked the door that night. She had like extra locks, and It Follows, you know, slept peacefully.
How bad do you just want to
leave? Head sucks. Yeah, what's up? Up top.
We know what It Follows is about.
So it didn't stop us.
I'll tell you what follows It Follows. Sex.
Yeah, but Babadook, you know, that was like a, that was a panic situation.
Okay. The main actress in It Follows, her name is Makia Monroe.
She was good.
Tell me if I'm saying that right, because you know I'm horrible.
Micah Monroe. M-A-I-K-A?
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't know.
She was also in one of my favorite, I guess you call it horror films of last year.
Okay.
The Guest.
Oh, I haven't seen that. That's on my, it's in my queue.
It's in the queue.
Yeah.
I highly recommend you check out The Guest. It was one of my favorite films of last year.
Okay. That can be number three in
it's a throwback.
Movie marathon.
It used the same kind of score as It Follows.
Yeah.
That very John Carpenter type sync, like just totally cool.
Yeah.
It kind of reminds me, do you remember The Hitcher with Rutger Hauer?
No.
Okay. You're like, no.
But I'm watching it.
Yeah.
It sounds good.
Watch The Guest, though. The least I tell you, the better.
Great.
Most people listening to this have probably already seen it because I tweeted about it all last year.
Okay.
Me and Alicia Malone were big champions of that film.
Great.
Even Stuckman, that's where he saw it. He was a big champion of it also. Love that movie. Absolutely love it.
Awesome.
So she's had two really good movies back to back. Her roles are definitely different in both movies.
She's a new Scream Queen.
That's what I'm saying. Like, she is kind of a new Scream Queen, isn't she? Let me see if she has any upcoming projects. Let's check this out.
JT is checking IMDb now.
I am checking IMDb.
This is thrilling radio.
This is unbelievable. Uh-oh. I don't know what's happening. Oh, I'm stuck on It Follows. I apologize. Okay, here we go. She's a very good actress. I think, you know, like, she shows a promise. Like, she's picking good projects.
Yeah, I liked her, and it was... The whole cast was inoffensive teen acting. I mean, she was the only one that really stood out, but none of the others were like, oh, God, come on, man.
All right, so she's coming up in the new Chloe Moretz movie, The Fifth Wave, which is like that alien invasion movie.
Nice.
But it's based on a young adult novel. Have you seen trailer for it yet?
No, I haven't.
All right, it doesn't look great.
Okay.
But apparently she's an Independence Day resurgence.
Oh, wow. Hello. So she's getting pigeonholed now as a alien invasion girl.
She's playing Patricia Whitmore. Is that the president's daughter?
It was President Whitmore.
Yeah. Whoa. I think she's playing the daughter.
Wow.
Grown up.
Awesome.
What? How do you feel about that movie? Do you think it's... I mean, Bill Pullman's back. You got Goldblum.
Well, yeah.
William Hemsworth.
Yeah.
Who else is in this freaking thing? William Fitcher?
But the...
Cliff K. Fox has come back.
I can't believe I'm blanking on his name, but the... You know, the creator, the director, who hasn't done much.
Ronald Emmerich.
Roland Emmerich.
Roland Emmerich, 2012, Day After Tomorrow.
Uh-huh. So, yeah. I love Independence Day. Hopefully this will be a return to form. I think it's a huge mistake on Will Smith's part to not be involved.
Me too. Why? Why, people?
Why? What is he doing that's so important? Being in Juggalo Squad? Is that really a better
Juggalo
choice
squad?
Than this?
Why do you call it Juggalo Squad?
Because they look like Juggalos.
Like Juggalos.
They look like they're going to the gathering together.
They did not look like a bunch of white redneck Juggalos to me. So good. Sorry, I'm looking at their IMDb. So yeah, those are only two things of real merit that seem to be coming up.
In her life and career.
She's finally starting to look like she's in two big budget films coming up.
That's great. She's earned it.
That's how usually you start. You make a couple good indies. Next thing you know, you're going on to some bigger and better films.
There you go.
So Bob Duke, obviously, like better. I'm trying to think of some other horror films. Like this Halloween season for us.
Yeah.
Is there a movie or two that you try to revisit every Halloween?
No, I try to catch up with the new ones, but okay. my all-time favorite movie one up there is The Shining. Shining's got to be up there. So that I've seen a bunch of times.
It's amazing. Kubrick.
Yeah.
I like fun horror movies sometimes. Here's the thing. Okay. I've seen so many horror movies in my life.
Yeah.
It's very rare one actually scares me.
Uh-huh.
Like, I watched The Babadook. There were some creepy moments.
Yeah.
I think there's a moment where she sees herself in the TV.
That was a creepy face.
That was a creepy Woo! Fucking face. Like that.
Good acting there.
I don't get jump scared. Like, you can't jump scare me.
Okay.
It's very Wow, you got me. you actually got me. Wow, you just totally, totally took me down. My own joke.
You were saying.
But, so it's rare for that to happen to me. Like, I don't get any joy out of that. Like,
okay.
I like my mind being taken to a dark place and creep me out that way. But I love fun horror movies and Evil Dead 2.
Oh.
Dead by Dawn is one of my absolute favorite movies.
So fun. I saw that really young and it kind of changed me. Kind of made me the way
I am. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, great. Are you excited for the new show?
Yes.
Yes.
I hear good things.
I had tickets to premiere Wednesday night, but I wasn't able to make it. We were shooting here late.
Oh, man.
But you know what?
I would have gone in your place. It's fine.
I should have taken my tickets. It was great, though. Like, I'm really looking forward to seeing that show. I love the Evil Dead remake. Just without Ash is not the Evil Dead.
No, exactly.
It's not the same.
Man, why?
Yeah. Evil Dead's such a... It may as well be called Ash in Evil Dead.
Bruce Campbell's Evil Dead.
Yeah,
sorry,
much.
Sam Raimi. You're Salt and he's Peppa. Like, you gotta go together.
Totally agree. And I like that they're both behind the series too. That's what makes me more excited than anything.
Yeah.
If Raimi was involved, I'd be a little worried.
Yeah.
But again, so I'm super excited for the show, but I love Evil Dead too. It's actually got creepy moments.
Sure.
But 10 seconds later, you're laughing, but almost like uncomfortably. Cause you're like, this is
yes.
Not like haha funny. It's like, this is insane.
You're laughing, but you're still tense. I mean, it manages to do both, and laughter usually relieves tension, but this is still like, oh shit.
Yeah.
What's happening?
I think it's the best of the trilogy. Cause I think Army of Darkness gets a little too silly. It's not even
It's a different kind of movie.
It's just straight up comedy.
Yeah.
They're not even trying to be scary.
Yeah.
Whereas the first one is basically like Evil
it's
Dead.
It's just a cheap horror movie.
It's a cheap horror movie, and I think that's why Evil Dead 2 is really kind of a remake more than it is a sequel.
Yes.
It's like
it's the same thing.
He just knew he could do better.
Yeah.
And he did way better. It's rare when a director can remake his own movie.
I know, the first one was really just a practice swing.
Yeah.
That's interesting, yeah.
Not too many directors have that luxury.
Well, when the first one cost like 10 grand, I guess, why not try again?
Good point. So what are horror films are you a real big fan of besides The Shining?
Besides The Shining and the obvious, like, Shining Exorcist.
Yeah, besides, try to give me some more obscure ones, because the heavy hitters everyone knows.
Well, like, I mean, Audition is one of the most fucked up things I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, that's
if you haven't seen
movie.
That,
seen it.
Seek it out. And the less you know about it, the better.
It's Japanese.
It's very Japanese.
That gives me an idea where you're going.
Yeah.
Those Japanese, they have some crazy-ass movies. They were talking about Battle Royale earlier here today.
Battle Royale.
Not
I
a
love
horror
that movie.
I want to call it a horror movie.
There's some horror elements, but it's...
It's a brutal movie.
It's what Hunger Games should have been.
Yes, totally agree.
And, I love that.
Have you ever seen Bill Paxton's directed film, Frailty?
No.
I highly recommend it.
Okay.
Highly, highly, highly recommend it.
Frailty.
McConaughey?
Yeah.
Bill Paxton directing, also stars.
Yeah.
The movie starts off in modern day. McConaughey is telling a story, and it goes a flashback about these two young brothers. Their mother died. Bill Paxton's the father.
Okay.
And he's a mechanic.
Okay.
They got a great life. Loving father, loving sons. One day, the dad comes home and says, God came to me at work and says, we have to eliminate the demons from the earth.
Sure.
And the kids are like, what? I mean, it's told through one of the older brother's eyes.
Yeah.
And then Bill Paxton starts taking his kids with him as he starts killing people.
Whoa.
Like serial killer style.
Whoa.
But he believes it's a mission from God, and he believes that, like, what he's doing is holy.
Sure.
And the whole movie is, like, these kids are trying to, like, their father, it's their loving father.
Yeah.
What do you do if your parent just goes insane?
Wow. It's like a prequel to the Boondock Saints. It yes. sounds cool.
Yes. Stephen King called it one of his favorite horror movies of all time.
Okay. Frailty. I gotta see that. I gotta see The Guest.
Gotta see The Guest, Frailty. I mentioned this on Schmoes No Movie Show the other night. I love Demon Knight.
Demon Knight?
Yes. Tales from the Crypt. The very first movie they ever made.
Nice.
With Jada Pinkett
the
Smith.
The Crypt Keeper.
Yeah. Jada Pinkett Smith. Billy Zane plays the devil.
Yeah.
Have you never heard of this movie?
No.
Everyone I talk to has not heard of this movie. I don't understand. It was a huge, it was a large theatrical release.
Okay.
Oh, man. Anyway, it's a really, Tales from the Crypt, it starts off even with the Crypt Keeper.
Yeah.
David Arquette has a great cameo.
Oh, boy. And wow, who's who?
Because they actually do, like, before the movie actually starts, they kind of trick you into thinking you're watching a movie.
Okay.
Then all of a sudden they yell cut, and you realize you're on a set of a movie.
Oh,
and then
wow.
The Crypt Keeper is there as the director. He's like, oh, hello, Judge.
That's where, like, Scream 4 stole it from. Yeah. Whatever one was about the movie
Scream
about
3.
The movie.
Yeah, I think it was 3. Yeah, 3.
Yeah.
And then he goes, oh, here's the real movie, Bordello of Blood. And the whole movie takes place at, like, this hostel in this southern town where this guy's being chased by the devil played by Billy Zane.
Mm.
And basically they're held up in this, like, hotel with all these cast of characters. Great character actors like Thomas Hayden Church,
nice.
Jada Pinkett Smith, a couple of actors, I can't remember their names at the moment, and basically Billy Zane chases him down to his house, and this guy has this jar of blood. And it turns out it's the blood of Jesus.
Okay.
And it's also a key. And Billy Zane needs that key to, like, open a gate to hell.
As the devil would,
yeah,
yes.
And he basically
got, like, he locked his keys inside,
yeah,
and he skipped
exactly.
back to his house.
And he basically is... It, once snap his fingers, all these demons from hell start coming up over outside this hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And if you take a drop of blood and you put it in the doorway, that doorway, demons cannot pass.
Oh,
so
okay.
They go to every window in the house and they're just like...
It's very like Passover.
Yeah.
They're,
very Passover.
Yeah, it's like extreme Passover.
But it's a very funny movie. Like Billy Zane, this to me, it's his best performance.
Wow. Ever. So where would you rank Billy Zane's devil versus Pacino's devil versus Dennis Hopper's devil in The Crow 4?
I've only seen Crow 1 and 2. And after 2, I vowed never to watch another one. And I love Pacino's the devil, but Billy Zane is more, he's very comical in it. He's almost got like a Freddy vibe to him.
Okay.
Like, he'll come to, like, the people, he tries, because he can't get in the house, because they've protected it by the blood of Jesus. He starts using,
he's gotta be a little crafty.
Yeah, he's trying to be crafty. He's almost like Freddy Krueger, but he's, like, trying to trick you to come outside, like, and he starts going...
Yeah.
He starts using, like, all these different kind of sins to lure the people outside.
There's so many.
Yeah, there's so many. And these demons are scary as shit. They're scary-looking demons.
That's awesome, okay.
Also, side note, this movie just became available on Blu-ray this week.
Good.
So, guys, go out there and find it. I don't think it's on Netflix, or else if it is, I will tweet it out immediately that it is. It's such a fun movie. It's great. Great cast. It's one of those I feel like it's a forgotten gem of horror.
Okay,
films.
Great. Well, awesome. My horror to watch list has grown by 3, mm-hmm. So we got 3 more nights going.
Can you think of a horror movie I might not have seen?
No.
That you can recommend to me?
I guarantee you there's nothing I've seen that you haven't. In general, and especially in horror.
Okay. All right, well, this is a great conversation. Perfect for Halloween, I think. Let's go ahead and get to some quick thinks. I tweeted out that we're about to record. Plenty of people respond to movies they watched last, and let's see if we've seen any of these movies. What
let's
do you
do
think?
It.
500 Days of Josh, at 500 Days of Josh.
Is that
yeah.
a sequel to
I guess. Focus. I did not see this.
What was Focus?
The Will Smith, Margot Robbie film.
Oh, I wish I did.
Oh,
that seems like I always planned to be on an airplane when that would be playing.
Okay.
And that never lined up.
It's like a perfect airplane movie. Like, yeah. I had no desire to go see it.
But I like both those people.
Yeah, and it was nice to see him try doing something that wasn't like just big budget or...
Totally. Like, I like con movies too. I mean, nope, next.
Sorry, guys. Morgan Robinson at the Purple Don.
Yeah.
The Purple Don is a great pimp name.
Purple Don.
I watched The Thing yesterday because Halloween, but also watched Spectre on Monday. Oh, he's from the UK.
Lucky. Although I hear mixed things about Spectre.
Yeah, I've been hearing mixed things too. The Thing is one of my all-time favorite movies. So cool. You've seen it.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Okay, good. John Carpenter, I think, is his best film.
Yeah.
A lot of people would say, some horror enthusiasts might say Halloween's his best movie. For me, it's The Thing, hands down.
It's a remake.
It is. Yeah. It is a remake from The Thing That Came From... The original was called The Thing That Came From Space.
Yeah.
Right? I believe that's what it was.
If you say so. I just knew someone pulled that out of Movie Fights. I was like, that's not a remake, and I was fact-checked, so...
Oh, yeah, totally a remake. Oh, you didn't know that?
Yeah.
I love that movie. Kurt Russell in his prime.
Yeah.
The special effects are all practical, and they all stick up. There's only one shot at the end when they show the thing as, like, it's really big.
Yeah.
And they had to use some green screen, you could tell. But besides that, all the practical effects before that are absolutely amazing.
Oh, yeah,
amazing.
To my child mind, it all felt real.
Yeah, and let me tell you, whenever someone says, oh, CGI is good, I'm like, you watch The Thing Part 2, which was just called The Thing again for some reason.
Okay.
And it was with Mary Winstead, Elizabeth Winstead, what's her name?
Weeds.
Yeah, whatever. She was in it, and they used CGI, and it was looked like shit.
Well, there's plenty of examples of bad practical stuff in horror, too.
Yeah, so. And that's the one movie I go, practical will always be, it'll never be outdated if you do it right.
Sure, that's true.
Nick at The Real, The Real MWM Fan. MWM.
MWM.
Is that a wrestling league?
Yeah, I was going to say, spinoff from WWE.
Okay, well, anyway, The Descent, a great horror movie.
Have you seen it? That's the one they go in the cave.
Yes.
And there's some controversy about the ending, like there's an alternate ending.
There's two different endings, yeah.
Yeah, like the cool, hopeless one, and then the one they actually used.
Yeah. I love this movie because the first half of the movie, there's nothing to do with monsters or anything.
Yeah.
You're just getting
just
to know the
characters. Just people who like spelunking.
Yeah, and it actually, there's some scary shit just from those... There's one point where a girl gets stuck in a cave, like this little trap.
127 hours. Yeah. Beat your heart out.
And it literally, like, took my breath away.
Yeah.
Like, it made me uncomfortable in the theater. Like, I felt like I was stuck in there with her. And I was gripped before the monsters even showed up.
That's awesome.
But then the monsters show up, and the great thing is they do these little hints of the characters. And, you know, you get five girls together. They don't always get along. And they play to that. And some jealousy comes up. And then when the shit hits the fan, it all comes to head.
Oh, that's great.
And I loved it. Check it out. I think you would really dig it.
Okay, cool.
Let's see what else we got. Mad Max Fury Road for the fourth time. Amazing. That's Dustin at Cap Dustin. Still maybe my favorite film of the year.
I don't know what else would take that spot.
That's what I'm saying.
Is
there anything that takes that spot?
Yeah, if it's not number one, it's like 1A, 1B, something like that.
What would be the other one?
I was trying to think about it. There's so many movies from last year.
A lot of people that talk to me are like, they say Ex Machina is one of their favorites of the year.
I love that. Really, that was great, but I wouldn't put it on the same level.
It's Mad Max, right?
As Mad Max, no.
All right, everyone, I talk about Mad Max too much. People are sick of me talking about it, but I love that movie. I watched part one and part two this past week, and now I'm going to watch the first half of Thunderdome. The first 40 minutes is the only thing worth watching. And then I'm going
George Miller's hands, yeah.
Yeah, then I'm going right into Fury Road.
Children.
Oh, God. Yeah. I like the children when he first meets them. It's the second they leave that compound where I'm like, this shit's got to stop. All right, let's see what else we got here. April O'Donnell says, I'm sorry. What did I say? Oh, yeah. She saw Heat, the Pacino movie.
Nice.
Great movie.
I mean, what more is there to say about Heat? It's Pacino and De Niro acting their hearts out.
I would also say it's the best Michael Mann movie. My favorite Michael Mann movie.
Best Michael Mann
movie. I love Last of Mohicans. I love Collateral.
Best gunfight in film?
Best shootout. It's
one
of the best.
Yeah.
It's hard because, here's the thing, like, I love Hard Boiled, John Woo.
Yeah.
One of the greatest, but that's almost too, like,
theatrical.
Theatrical, yes. Yeah, they called it a bullet ballet.
It's a little too dovey.
Yeah, yeah. No, there weren't too many doves in the Hard-Boiled at the end. It was all towards the beginning.
Okay.
But it's very much, like, over-exaggerated.
Slow-mo. But Heat is, like, real-time.
Real-time. Feels the most realistic by far.
Yeah.
In my opinion. All right, that was a great one. Let's see what we got here. Trying to find some good horror ones in here. Jurassic World, Jose J at Jose Jim. I'm just curious to hear your thoughts on this movie.
Well, it really split the Screen Junkies audience.
Yeah. Dan Merle hated it. Andy liked it, but has now gone back and said...
Well, I'm sorry. Andy loved it walking out of the theater. He can backtrack all he wants, but I was there when both of them saw it, and it was like, it was yin and yang.
Wow.
And I end up somewhere in the middle because it's not a good movie, but I compare it to Lost World and Jurassic Park 3.
Oh, Jurassic Park 3 is horrible.
Yeah, and I'm like, okay, well, it was better than those, so I'm not mad. But
I would say
when you compare it to Jurassic Park, it's garbage.
I agree. I still say it's better than Lost World or Jurassic Park. Jurassic Park 3, though, is just off. God awful.
Yeah.
The first one, though, again, doesn't come close to the first one.
No, not at all.
I think a lot of it relied on nostalgia, and once you take those goggles
relied
off,
on nostalgia.
It was nostalgia. Yeah, good point. Isaiah Belcher at IC Belcher 95. Freddy vs. Jason, the ultimate team.
Oh, yeah. I saw that on HBO. Or, like, not HBO, please. HBO, like, 7.
Okay.
On
it was
cable.
Directed by Ronnie Yu.
Yeah.
He just came off directing Bride of Chucky.
Yeah.
Which was a hit. So, because he brought a lot of comedy.
A lot of comedy.
It's almost like a spoof in some ways. But at the same time, I think he did a good job of calling back to the original trilogy, like having Jason's mother come back for a cameo.
That's not bad.
And so he did some cool things, but I just felt like the tone was kind of off.
You think? Yeah, it was like, it reminded me of Jason X a little bit, of just getting the character Jason so far X,
it
from
wasn't
its roots.
As bad as Jason X. That movie was a joke. Oh, God, I hate that movie.
Jason in space!
The only thing I liked in Jason X was when he's in the hologram and he starts... There's, like, two people in, like, a sleeping bag. There's, like, a girl.
Yeah, so he goes for that.
Yeah, so he goes, and then they cut back to, like, people talking, and then they cut back to him. He's just banging the girl in the sleep bag, like, against a tree, but she's not dying, so he's just, like, a dumb animal, like, oh, what's happening?
Yep, steroid Jason.
So that was funny, but everything else, pure crap. Let's go another Halloween one. This is one a lot of people, it's kind of become a cult hit in the last few years. Brooke Wilkins at B Wilkes 88, Trick or Treat.
I have no idea what that is.
Okay, the guy who wrote the first two X-Men movie with Bryan Singer directed it.
Yeah.
It has a decent cast, Dylan Baker, Anna Paquin. It was a very small release a few years ago, but it's gotten like a huge kind of cult following.
Okay.
And now his next follow-up film, which is also a horror film, is coming out this year called Krampus.
I've seen the trailer for Krampus. A lot of Krampus hype.
Yeah, it looks pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't love Trick or Treat as much as like a lot of my friends did, or I'm not part of that cult following.
Okay.
But it's not bad.
Yeah.
It's a decent little horror film.
It's got enough promise that you're on the Krampus hype train.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, the Krampus like just looks amazing.
Yeah.
Here's the thing. Like, I loved The Guest.
Yes.
But the director's work before that was Your Next.
Oh.
Did you see that?
No. I heard that's cool.
It's very fun. It's really bad acting. It's not the best filmmaking, but it's a fun movie. And I feel like that was him with a limited budget.
Yeah.
Then he did The Guest, which I absolutely loved.
Yeah.
So I feel like, okay, maybe Trick or Treat was his first film.
Uh-huh.
He did it. He learned a lot. He became a hit. A cult following. Now maybe he's just going to knock it out of the park.
Sweet.
That I did with The Guest. All right. This is the last one. And I'm going to ask you a follow-up question this one.
Okay.
Nolan Vogel at the Nolan Vogel, Misery.
Oh, Misery's amazing.
Rob Reiner.
Yeah.
He was hot in the early 90s. Two Good Men, Stand By Me. I mean, he was killing it back then.
North.
That was after. When Harry Met Sally. I mean,
Spinal Tap.
People forget Rob Reiner, how many great movies this guy's made.
He's amazing. He's probably the best actor turned director.
The Princess Bride.
Him and Ron Howard. Yeah.
I mean, this guy's made some classics. He went to Crap Town at mid 90s. After North, he went
like
south.
Like late 90s, mid 90s, yeah.
He went south after North, put that way.
He got a little sentimental.
Yeah, but he was killing it from early 80s to early 90s. He was absolutely killing it.
Awesome run.
Misery is a great movie.
Yes.
Kathy Bates won an Oscar, James Caan. I recently just watched this maybe like 2 months ago.
Mm-hmm.
Hadn't seen it in years.
It's been years since I see it, but I remember it being amazing.
Okay. So you haven't seen it in a while?
No.
Okay, but you still remember it being a great movie?
Oh, yeah.
Okay, if you... Where Annie, Kathy Bates.
Yeah.
You could find one person in a turned over car in a snowstorm. Who would you bring?
Oh, come on. I'm not that kind of guy.
Who would you bring home?
Who would I bring to my to my leg clinic.
Maybe M. Night Shyamalan. Maybe you don't want to see many more movies.
No, because I think somebody... that he's on the verge of a comeback.
Okay. Or is it somebody that you admire a lot and just want, you're like...
Just want to have them.
Do you want to be Aaron Sorkin? And then, like, you're reading his script and you're like, why does Steve Jobs die at the end? You make him live.
Right? Oh, that's interesting. I'll take, I wouldn't do Shyamalan. I'll take Jai Courtney. I'll take Jai Courtney into there. And it's going to get real creepy. And I think that it would enrich him as an actor to go through some pain because I feel like he's been handed everything in life and he needs to earn some stuff from now on. He's got to get over his broken legs.
This is how I see the broken leg scene going down. He's in his room by himself.
Yeah.
You're on your computer.
Say, hey, I just got cast in the Big Trouble in Little China remake.
Yeah. But you know, he doesn't even tell you. You see it on like Slash Film or JoeBlow.com. Yep. Like, breaking news, Jack Courtney cast as Kurt Russell.
Batman, yeah. He's Batman now. Ben Affleck's kicked off the franchise.
Then the door slowly opens and you're there with Sledgehammer. He's like, what are you doing?
Time to Jai.
Time to Jai. That's the most amazing catchphrase. Time to Jai.
Time to Jai.
Did you just come up with that?
I did.
That's why this guy is the writer for Honest Trailers. That is hilarious. Oh, shit. I can't top that. I can't even think of anybody else I would do. Jai Courtney would be perfect.
Yeah.
There's no one I really hate as far as, like, that bad. Like, I just... I don't love Transformers enough to do it to Michael Bay.
And
I would love
feel
to
like
see
that
Bad Boys 3. I would love to see Bad Boys 3.
So I want
to
see Bad Boys 3,
I want
3
Bay directing it, too.
Like, Pain and Gain showed enough flickers that, like, there might be... When he's done with Transformers, he might come back to making good, fun movies.
Decent movies, yeah. How about that? He's doing that Benghazi movie next. Benghazi.
Not thrilled about that one.
You know what bothers me most about that trailer?
What's that?
One, you got John Krasinski from The Office.
Okay.
Do you know who else is in that movie with a beard?
No.
Pam's fiance, Ron.
Oh!
With a beard.
Wow, okay.
I loved American Office.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be able to sit there and watch that movie and not see Jim and... Ron?
Jim and Ron
I'm going to see Jim and Ron battling.
Jim's going to, like, face camera and make the Jim face. Yeah. Like, well,
Ron,
where's the security, Hillary?
And there's Ron? And it's like, I'm just seeing... why would you cast those two when you know they were these two characters in the movie together?
I just think Michael Bay and, like, nuanced political situations should stay far away from each other.
The problem is, like, he does these very exaggerate, like... explosions.
He should make the Top Gun remake or the Top Gun sequel that
they've
been talking about.
But his explosions don't look realistic anymore. They look like fireworks. I don't want to see that in the Benghazi movie.
A lot of like sparkles coming out of the explosions in Transformers 4.
And if you see the trailer for Benghazi, it's the same freaking thing.
Yeah.
I was like, that's the same explosion from T3. Yep. I mean, Transformers 3 or whatever. Yeah. All right. Well, enough of this. This is a great show, Spence. You are the best.
Thanks, JT.
I love working with you guys here. Such a great crew we got
here. Just a ray of sunshine in the office.
I try, you know. I skip around.
When are you going to train your replacement so you can come on movie fights?
I'm going to. I tweeted something out earlier today about it. I'm going to get somebody in there because the great thing about engineering the show is I play along every week.
Yeah.
I'm like, what would I say?
Yeah.
And Dan's the one I always want to go for the best.
Yes.
I would love to go up against Dan.
Okay.
But even I got to admit, there's times where I'm in that booth and I'm like, oh, I would argue this. And then Dan makes a point that I'm like, how would I argue that? Dan, you're good.
It's tough. It's tough.
It's one thing watching from the booth. It's a whole different
story.
Oh,
when those lights are on and the cameras are going and they hit you with Hollywood's best mark, you know, it's tough.
It is tough. Oh, that was a tough... Me, I was in the booth when he got that question.
Yeah.
I couldn't think of anything either.
Mark Hamill
didn't come to my mind. Like, nothing.
I gotta say, I had Ruffalo in my back pocket, but I wasn't there. I wasn't on camera,
exactly.
So who knows?
When you're in the lights, it's a different story.
Totally different.
So tell everybody where they can find you, the usual.
At Spencer J. Gilbert on Twitter, and keep watching Screen Junkies. Like, subscribe, etc.
Yeah, a lot of big things coming on the horizon.
Oh, yeah.
Announcements coming soon.
Oh, yeah.
All right, guys, you can follow me at SchmoesJTE. Follow me on Twitter, Instagram, all that garbage. Periscope. I don't Periscope as much as I used to.
Snapchat, Vine.
Yeah, I'm going to try Periscope more. Box office breakdown every Sunday night. We go over the box office numbers for the weekend with me, Tom Danino, Sarah Stratton. Also, check me out on Schmoes Know every Thursday nights. And Screen Junkies, I'm around. If you ever hear him yell JT, talking to me.
JT.
All right, guys. Have a good one. And keep watching those movies.
Happy Halloween.